Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show, and thank you for joining us. A little short-handed today, but I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Glenn Fink.
Thank you for joining us. Now, we're like I said, we're a little... The day after the second primary election, so we know that half our staff are
recovering. Sort
of recovering because of the overwhelming folks that came out for the primary. So I guess what there's only a couple percent of the people actually came out to vote.
I don't know what the exact number is, but it's pretty low.
And the thing about that is when you have a really low turnout, you can influence an election in a way that might not reflect the majority of voters. Now, I don't think that happened here, but that is a possibility.
Yeah. Well, I have a question. Is it that there was a small number of people that came out on the 14th and most everybody voted downtown? Or altogether, those figures were low?
Altogether, the figures were low. I heard a number like the Thursday, so it wasn't the final date. Craven County only had 400 and some. Mm-hmm. And Carteret County, I'm sorry, had 300 and some for early voting, short a day. So that's a very low number.
That's not very many people.
No,
but it was, you know, give them credit, it was raining. Some people won't come out in the rain.
And also, again, it was a runoff of a primary election. So you were limited, the number of people who could vote were limited to Republicans who had, or independents who had voted as Republicans in the prior election.
I may be wrong, but I believe every Republican had the right to vote in this.
Yeah,
I
don't think every Republican had, but only independents who had voted in the Republican primary.
Yeah, yeah.
Had previously voted. Independents that either had not previously voted or previously voted as a Republican.
Yeah.
In the primaries. Yeah, I just, so it was an interesting election, and... Now we're gonna move on. We've got the candidates.
The candidate that won for state auditor is also the candidate who took DEI out of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. We'll get to that later.
Yes.
Okay. Where are we going?
I think me. I want to go first. I check the Sun Journal headlines every morning. And this one caught my eye this morning. World War II soldier to be laid to rest in New Bern 80 years after his death. And it's going a brief ceremony during which he will be awarded the Purple Heart will be held at 5:30 p.m. on Sunday, May 19th at Cotton Funeral Home. Visitation will follow from 6 to 8. And on Monday, May 20th, a funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. at Cotton Funeral Home to honor his life and service. And he will be laid to rest at New Bern National Cemetery with full military honors. He was on a Flying Fortress when it was shot down by enemy aircraft. There only one soldier, or airman, rather, survived the crash. It took a long time because the Germans picked up remains, and they buried them over here, and somebody dug them up, and they went through them, and they couldn't identify them because all the identifying stuff like medals or uniform parts and what like that the Germans had removed. And so there was an eyewitness of the crash, and she contacted authorities, and needless to say, after all these years, they finally were able to identify his remains. So they're bringing him home. And I just think we need to mention that and give him the honor.
Give him the honor that he truly deserved, yes.
And I hope that people show up for the Purple Heart ceremony and the whole thing, because obviously his crew members may not still be alive.
No.
And... he needs to be, even though it's late, he needs to be recognized.
Well, you know, they're still bringing home remains from various other conflicts, Vietnam, Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I can't call any others off the top of my head, but I've heard about those.
And I think right now the Tomb for the Unknown Soldier in D.C. or in Arlington is not occupied at the moment. I believe they have identified everyone that they brought back there. So.
Oh, wow. I was not aware of that.
I didn't know that either. That's great.
That is great.
Well, Sergeant Ferris was included in the missing in a memorial in England, and they've put a flower next to his name to indicate that he's been recovered.
Yeah. Where are we going to go next?
I have another North Carolina
item. Okay, please.
There's a North Carolina bill to keep you from wearing a mask in protest, and it could make it illegal if you're wearing it for medical reasons, too. No mask wearing. And, you know, wearing a mask during the commission of a crime ups the level of felony. And if you wear it during the commitment of a murder, you're talking death penalty.
Wow.
It's one of the death penalty items. So I have to say, I didn't wear a mask during COVID, and it irks me every time I see somebody wearing one. So I won't miss them.
I think an interesting thing was try to go into a bank with a mask on. And and I know for a period of time, even with a hat on, they would not allow you into the bank.
Or sunglasses.
With sunglasses or hats. And
just as an aside, we were told by a pulmonary specialist that the masks interfere with your own immune system. And he told us that when the masks came off, he expected an increase in pneumonia cases because of the knocking down of the immune system that wearing the mask had done.
Well, the dentist warned about mask mouth because it trapped the bacteria and your breath was up against your face all day, and it led to more tooth decay. So those masks were not good for anybody, not to mention the fact that they weren't efficacious in blocking the COVID virus. Somebody said it's like blocking mosquitoes with a chain link fence.
Yeah, and also you had the people that were trying to put them on two-year-olds, which is just mean. And if you have a two-year-old wearing a mask all day, that you're talking Petri dish at that point.
Yeah, I agree.
And additionally, somebody made an awful lot of money making masks.
I saw a video of a guy in India sitting there barefoot, sewing them in chains where they're falling on the floor.
Oh, that's right. Okay, now we've got another. Do we have another North Carolina article?
We don't have another North Carolina, but we do have the fact that California declared Jane Fonda Day.
Oh.
On the day Vietnamese Americans mourn the fall of Saigon.
Well, I'm, as a Vietnam era vet, I'm so happy to hear all of that.
I'm a Vietnam era vet as well, and I remember very well the fall of Saigon because I was in Berlin watching it on the TV when they were pushing those helicopters off the Navy ships.
To make room.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, somebody's going to have to pay for those. Coming out of somebody's pocket.
And you could make the case that the combination of Jane Fonda and John Kerry undermined our war effort horribly. And there's also the fact that evidently when one of the prisoners of war passed Jane Fonda a note, she shared it with the enemy.
Oh, yeah. She gave it right to him.
This lady, I'm sorry, and I use the term lady loosely, does not deserve a day of recognition. That is probably the last thing she deserves.
So is this a state recognition in California?
No,
this is not federal, is it?
No, this was, let's see, this was a particular area, and I'm going through here to see if I can find it, Orange County.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
And Orange County is where
Los Angeles,
Disneyland, right? Is, yes.
Yeah, Los Angeles. but
pretty isolated. That's the way we like it.
Yes. If California falls into the sea, we'll nominate Orange County to go first.
Well, the interesting thing about Orange County Airport, the airport used to be named John Wayne Airport. And the problem was, because it was in such a densely populated area, all planes taking off had to do immediate noise reduction on takeoff. The fact that they weren't falling out of the sky was just sort of very interesting.
Wow.
Okay, where are we going next?
I'll tell you in a second. I do have a comment. Joe Biden has announced that he's putting tariffs on certain Chinese goods.
Pray tell, what are those goods?
Oh, those are...
Talk about a softball question. And, Mary, what are those goods?
I'm looking for
I'll bet you can't find them in the article.
Because they're...
Non-existent. Well, what mostly he's saying on Chinese electric vehicles. But what has happened is that China has put a tremendous amount of money into three Chinese auto manufacturers in Mexico. And they're going to be building the vehicles there. So this tariff doesn't apply because they're not coming from China, they're coming from Mexico. And I will add more after the break.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. And Mary, apparently, well, you're saying, if I'm going to lead into you, you're saying that our president does not use his press secretary, but instead tweets out.
Yes, he put out.
He has a social media person.
He tweeted
his
today.
Tweets for him.
I believe it's today, May 14th, 10 a.m. He tweeted. I just imposed a series of tariffs on goods made in China and 50% on solar panels. China is determined to dominate these industries. I'm determined to ensure America leads the world in them. This is a joke. You notice that it says, I've imposed a series of tariffs on goods made in China. So all you have to do is move the manufacturing to Mexico. And what they've done is Mexico, the Chinese auto companies in Mexico are targeting these electric vehicles in the $10,000 or less range. I don't know if you can buy a gas-powered car in America for $10,000, can you? I don't even know.
I don't think so.
I mean, that's cheap.
Not today.
Where? And the batteries probably cost about $13,000, which means as soon as the car dies, you drive it over the side of the road and you leave it there.
Well, I believe Ford apparently in the last week or 2 weeks that for every electric vehicle that they sold, they lost $130,000.
Yeah.
In manufacturing. Okay. I guess where's the EPA when you need it? And the reason I'm going to say that is, shouldn't every one of these electric vehicles come with a disposable fee? I mean, because you're going to eventually dispose of this battery.
You mean like the solar panels?
Like the solar panels.
Well, that's one of the ugly secrets of the electric car industry. They don't really talk about what happens when the battery goes dead, and because it's made out of heavy metals, where are you going to put it? Where are you going to dispose of it? And how are you going to afford $5,000 for a new battery?
If it's only $5,000, some of the GM and Tesla products are like $13,000.
Well, you know, Biden's trying to force the semi-trucking industry to go electric, and I can't imagine how big a battery would have to be to power a semi.
I've heard it takes up about a quarter of the payload of the truck to put
batteries in. Yeah, because they're not like, and you also get into the fact that these lithium batteries, you've got little kids in Africa in the lithium mines. Does anybody care about that?
They're in cobalt mines.
Yeah, well, does anybody care about that? Does anybody care about using little kids for slave labor?
No.
Move on. Nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see here.
But this is, again, these tariffs. I mean, wow, Biden's putting tariffs on China. When Trump put tariffs on China, they actually were put on things that mattered.
Don't you think Biden's putting tariffs on China to try to echo Trump so Trump doesn't have a point against him?
Oh, he wants to be elected again. Biden wants to be elected again. But his tariffs are such that all you have to do is bring the goods to Mexico, manufacture them there, and there's no tariff.
Yeah, but most people don't read past the headline.
No, final assembly point is Mexico, yes.
Well, it's just like, I mean, China's doing this with fentanyl. Why shouldn't they do it with cars?
Well, the other point of Chinese cars being brought in is the fact that these are collection devices that can send information back to China. So instead of having one big balloon fly across our country, you have several vehicles out there collecting information. Now, what can they collect that could be damaging to us? I think
they'll figure
it could
it
be
out.
Significant.
They'll figure it out. And you also have the thing with the electric car, I think more so than the gasoline car, but not totally more so, is you have the kill switch concept. Because some police departments have said for years they want a kill switch in American cars. So if there's a police chase, they can just push a button and shut down the car. Well, that sounds like it would save lives until you get to the point where we know that the government has unauthorized spies on Americans. What's to say if somebody posts the wrong thing on Twitter or gets in their way or has more influence that they don't like, that they'll just use the kill switch on their car?
The kill switch is already in the upcoming auto standards. It's already on the books.
It's there in the books. Yes.
Yeah, it's coming. And I think it's creeping under the curtain under the guise of stopping DWIs, which admittedly kill a lot of people, DWI crashes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's no reason to treat everybody like a criminal. But actually, it's the climatistas that want to do a kill switch. So they want to make sure you can't go faster than a certain amount, and they want to be able to turn your car off when you've driven, when they think
the
you've
allotted
driven,
number of miles.
Driven enough miles, yeah. And who knows where that'll leave you.
Well, that's back. That's going back to the 15-minute cities. That London, England has a couple of these where you are limited to being any place within 15 minutes of your house.
And that may be all well and good, Mary, because they're dense. It's a dense urban area, but we're not.
Try that in Montana.
Yeah, try it in a small town.
And again, you have to ask permission to go outside your 15-minute limit, and you are limited in the number of times you can go outside your 15-minute limit. We don't want that kind of dictatorship. You know, our automobile is the freedom in America. That's a symbol of freedom. And it's also, when you look around, it is also a reflection of our diversity. We had people staying with us years ago from Russia, and one of the things that shocked her when she got here was the number of different styles, colors, and shapes of cars that she saw. Evidently, in Russia, you buy a car, it's black, and it looks like everybody else's car.
It's the Henry Ford, any car, any color, as long as it's black.
Yeah. And the automobile in America is a real symbol of our freedom. And I don't like the fact that they're messing with it.
I agree.
Okay, we've got unanimity here. Well, maybe.
Good luck with that.
That's easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. Where are we going from here?
I would like to go to a couple of comments about Israel. The House of Representatives is talking about putting a bill together that would pressure the president to send weapons to Israel because he has blocked some of the shipments of arms. And the president has already said that he would veto that bill. The House is expected to vote this week on the Israel Security Assistance Support Act, which was introduced after Biden started holding up the weapons.
Well, the impression I got was that they were trying to force him to ship the bombs that were supposed to go out in that shipment. And so even though he's approved $1 billion now, no bombs, still no bombs.
And the other part of our help, quote unquote, to Israel is that we have told Israel that we won't tell them where the tunnels are located and where the terrorists are located unless they agree to a ceasefire. Well, if your intention was to limit the number of civilian casualties, wouldn't you be willing to share the information where Hamas was hiding so that you could end this whole thing more quickly?
Why is our government ignoring the fact that they have American hostages?
Why is the press ignoring the fact that they have American hostages?
Well, that surprises me less than the fact that the government isn't. We didn't elect the press. We elected the government, and we want our hostages home.
It's interesting to me that when you watch some of the news programs on Newsmax, at the bottom right of your screen, they will show you pictures of the hostages continually. But I don't think we're treating Israel very well. Well, I know that President Biden wants the vote in Michigan from the Islamists, but I don't know at what point the American Jews are going to say, wait a minute.
Well, one of the things that I think happened in the absence of this cache of weapons that we're holding back, IDF strikes terrorists hiding in the UNRWA school near Rafah. The United Nations Relief Workers Association school has become the headquarters for the Hamas. So apparently the IDF decided to put in a precision-guided weapon to say, hello, we're here, and killed a number of terrorists in that.
Well, why is UNRWA cooperating with Hamas, or has UNRWA become Hamas?
Now you've asked the right question.
Does anybody want to tackle that one?
And I think the Arabic nations that are members of the UN, which are the ones, the troops most likely to be stationed over there, are sympathetic to Hamas, if not members of Hamas.
If not the members, yeah. If not the members, and it's all done with U.S. funds. So we're funding the Hamas side, but we're going to withhold weapons from the other side.
So why are we still in the UN when the UN is supporting terrorists who have a second on their hit list? I mean, they're not going to stop with Israel. They're going to.
That's a rhetorical question, right? I mean, why are we supporting the UN? Because we always do. In fact, there was some question whether or not Biden was going to exercise our veto as part of the Security Council to veto recognition of Palestine as a new nation.
You know, we're looking at another endless war ourselves. I mean, since Vietnam, actually since Korea, we have never fought a war to end the war. We started off with that article of a person returning a body 80 years later, essentially, but we've never fought a war to win the war. We've fought a war to support the industrial
dictator du jour,
industrial complex, yes.
Industrial complex.
Yeah, and so we're not fighting to win, folks. We got to get back to. We're got to be in a war to win. I think the IDF is in their war to win, and we're going to have to learn how to get along with somebody that wants to win.
I prefer to have a president like Trump who didn't put us in any new wars.
I agree. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Mary, you wanted to come back to an item?
Well, recently, the UN has been moving toward recognizing a Palestinian state, which essentially would be a terrorist state. And what is going on is there is a group within the UN called the Organization of the Islamic Conference. And they are a major power bloc within the UN, and they are pushing for such things as Sharia law, speech codes, which would make any kind of criticism of Mohammed punishable by law. There's a lady in Europe named Elizabeth Sabatish Wolf, who was put on trial because she was teaching a class about Islam, and she called Mohammed a pedophile. And it didn't matter whether or not that was true. It mattered that it was considered slander because Muslims didn't like hearing it. But we have this vote coming up in the UN. It has to go before the Security Council. It's already gone through the General Assembly to make Palestine a nation with full rights. Now, that's going to be a mess, because we've already seen that when Gaza was supposedly Palestinian, they were under a ceasefire. Israel was not controlling them in any way, and we had October 7th. So what are we going to get if we set up a Palestinian state?
Well, first of all, that basically says there's no criteria or standards
for a state
to come into the United Nations. So at that point, you don't know what you have, and I would strongly hope the United States would just stop and kick them out of that building.
but if you're in a situation now, right now, where Hamas is coming into Israel and doing various things, if you in fact had a state, and I'm not proposing this, but if in fact you had a state of Palestine, and they came in as insurgents and attacked another country, that is reason to declare war. And that would be a war that we would want to end totally. I mean, I'm just speculating, so I'm getting way off on the...
Well, part of the problem here is that the statistics are something like 75% of the residents of the Gaza Strip support Hamas. So what do you do with those people? You cannot let them form a country because you'd be forming a terrorist country.
I think the land where the Palestinians are is already essentially their state. And so if the UN wanted to bring them in as a state, they're stuck with those boundaries. But those are not the boundaries they want.
That's true.
So, you know, the sword has two edges.
The other part of it, too, is when Israel left Gaza, 2005, I believe, you can check that, they left an area that had greenhouses that was feeding the rest of Israel, and it had a prosperous infrastructure and was a successful area. When after the Israelis left and the, quote, Palestinians, unquote, took it over, the first thing they did was destroy the greenhouses. They destroyed their own infrastructure. They took a lot of the water pipes, turned them into bombs, and the money that was given to them, they turned into weapons and built tunnels with. I think they've already proven that we really don't want to put them in charge. And the bombing of Israel began not under Hamas rule, but when they were ruled by the Palestinian Authority.
You mean the Arafat?
Yeah. So there's never been a peaceful, constructive Palestinian state in Gaza. So why do we want to even think about giving them statehood when they've already shown that they can't behave well?
Well, look at all the hypocrisy of Europe and the United States giving Hamas, Palestinians, the PLO, money and pretend that it's going to humanitarian when we all know, we all have active intelligence services. We all know what they're using the money for, and yet we turn our eyes away from that. We keep on giving them the money. And what is the definition of
insanity?
Insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And it irks me that our government is playing this game and expecting we, the people, to just be ignorant and go along with it.
And how many videos have we seen on YouTube of Hamas hijacking the supply trucks that are coming in with food for the civilians and taking the food intended for the civilians and using it for the military?
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier. What's the charter of the UN? Isn't it to have some order in the world?
Yes.
I mean, it's got to have some definition of that type.
Mm-hmm.
So how does bringing this group in help with that charter or mission? It's not like everybody gets involved in this. You got to have standards and criteria, and I just don't even understand why it's up for discussion other than there's idiots running it.
Agreed.
Well, this is the preamble to the charter of the UN. We, the peoples of the United States, of the United Nations, determined to save seceding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrow to mankind, and to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, in the equal rights of men and women, and of nations large and small, and to establish conditions under which justice and respect for the obligations arising from treaties and other sources of international law can be maintained, and to promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedom.
Based on that and what we know about them, denied.
Folks, if you haven't gone to sleep...
We ought to get rid of the UN.
If you haven't gone to sleep under that reading... Folks, I'm going to ask you to wake back up, because it's a fairy tale. It's not reality.
Nope.
They've never lived up to it.
Nope.
And if we had two prior wars, and here we've had hundreds of wars since then, and we've picked on sides that are not following any of those standards that they list there.
And how many times have we had countries like Iran put on the Human Rights Council? I mean, really, it's time for them to go.
Yes, agreed.
It's time for the UN to go. That would be very nice high-rise condos in lower Manhattan. It would solve the parking problem that's down there. And New York City could collect taxes on the condos, which might help their financial situation.
But it'll desolate the prostitution industry.
Well, that too.
It would.
What happens in lower Manhattan is all the cars with diplomatic plates double park.
I know, but when they come to town, the place is crawling with prostitutes.
Yeah, well, that's
just goes to show you the quality of the person that's serving at the UN.
Yes. So it's
it
time
is
for
high
them to
it's
go.
It's high finance, yes.
It's time for them to go.
Where are we going now? We beat that one to death.
What else have we got?
Well, I've got under Biden, federal foster care funds can be used to buy kids chest binders and fake penises.
Wow. So those are that's the use of the federal of our tax dollars.
Yes.
Well, maybe it's not our tax dollars, because he's just printing money willy-nilly that has nothing to do with
our
taxes.
But this goes back to the fact, and we've said this before, that if you have a child at age 9 or 10 and you have that child change their gender, you have a medical patient for the rest of their life, because their body is continually trying to go back to where they started. So this is a boon to the pharmaceutical industry, that same wonderful industry that gave us the COVID vaccine. And I think it's time to, I don't know how much of a monopoly, I don't know how much The pharmaceutical industry is in bed with the government, but I think we need to take a look at that.
But again, you're talking, if you've got a 9 or 10 year old that wants to be a pirate, don't cut his leg off and don't poke his eye out. Okay? Just don't do that.
Chop his arm off and give him a hook.
And give him a hook. That's right.
And a parrot. He gets a parrot.
He gets a parrot.
You can't even, a 9 year old can't even get a tattoo without mom and dad's approval. A 16 year old.
He's drunk.
A 16-year-old can't get their ears pierced without mom and dad's approval. Why are we doing unnecessary mutilating surgery on kids that are not old enough to make that decision?
Well, you know, we're looking at these decisions, and we're not going back to the root cause, which actually is, I think, I'm going to say the AMA or the pediatric associations are some of these oddball associations that are promoting this. They're within their...
This is HHS.
And it's going to the HHS, and the reason? Because money comes with that decision. So we're going to make a dangerous decision because money came with it.
Well, this is these funds are for helping kids in the foster care system transition to adulthood. That's what they were originally meant for. And so instead, they're going to help children transition into the opposite sex. And so when you look at the list of things that they can buy, it's embarrassing. It's stuff you never heard of. I had to look up some of it.
And most of these opposite sex for folks right now are standing out there with the anti-Israeli protests, and they're going to, when they're assimilated into this anti-Israeli society, folks, they're the first ones that are going to get thrown off of the top of a building. So
be careful what you support.
Be careful what you support. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. It's a crazy world that we live in.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Pat, you have another area that we're going to.
Oh, please. I love to talk about these kinds of issues. Eric Adams, who's the mayor of New York, says that illegal immigrants should work as New York City lifeguards because they're excellent swimmers.
Excellent swimmers.
They're excellent swimmers. I assume he thinks that once you swim the Rio Grande, you must be an Olympic quality swimmer. I don't think he's ever seen the pictures of people wading across the Rio Grande. But at any rate, I know Rush Limbaugh used to say this, if you listen to the left, they will tell you who they are. So while they're claiming that we're bigots, they say excellent swimmers. And
when they have
according to the article, they do, in fact, have a lack of lifeguards for all the pools and the beaches that New York City has. and he wants to use illegal immigrants because they're excellent swimmers. You know, if a Republican said that, there would be consternation, chest beating, and as far as I can tell from this article, the only major press that reported this was NBC. Nobody else covered it.
Oh, wow.
So the manipulation by the press is not only the articles that they cover, the things that they cover, but the things that they cover up.
That's right. That's right.
That's true.
Nothing to see here, folks.
It's interesting, too. Generally speaking, lifeguards come from high school swim teams. New York has multiple high schools, and it does have some high schools with swim teams. There is no reason why they don't have the lifeguards to fill their swimming pool needs.
Maybe they're not applying.
Well, I'm going to say they don't have lifeguards because they probably put 100 restrictions on the lifeguard as to how you can save someone or how you have to deal with the people that are there that are acting stupid, that are jumping over one another, that are assaulting one another. What are you supposed to do as a lifeguard when folks in front of you are assaulting one another and the police are coming in and the police are taking them to the jail or to the police station or whatever else, and then the perps are making it back to the swimming pool quicker than the police are?
Well, I wonder if these illegal immigrants that Mayor Adams has decided are such wonderful swimmers, if they're going to have to pass the Red Cross lifeguard exam.
If I had to guess, I'd say no, because they didn't have to have COVID shots to come across the border. They don't have to have passports or ID to get on these airplanes where he's flying them all over the country. Would they have to pass this?
Do they get paid minimum wage? Do they get
the lifeguards?
The lifeguards?
I have no idea. What's minimum wage in New York City anyway?
We don't know. And
I don't think it's $7.
And it's not $7. And I think e-verify, do they have to use e-verify?
Okay.
It's not mandatory.
No, it's not mandatory.
It's
but
voluntary.
We would think that a federal agency would want to use e-verify.
No, this is New York City.
I know.
Federal.
Or a state agency would want to use e-verify.
If
they're demanding that private industry use it, which, again, they're not demanding it. They're demanding it, but they're not enforcing it.
Right. Usual.
Where are we going?
Okay. This is another New York story. Dexter Taylor, who's a Brooklyn software engineer, got 10 years in prison for building firearms in his apartment. And the officials labeled them as ghost guns. Well, when he tried to raise the Second Amendment, his Second Amendment rights, the judge told him, there is no Second Amendment in this courtroom. This is New York.
There's no Second Amendment in this courtroom.
This is New York. I think that's going to be an appellate issue. Duh.
Very, very much so.
Well, the states are required to follow the Constitution, are they not?
Yes. Including the Second Amendment. At first, they weren't, just the federal government. And then the Supreme Court eventually found that the Bill of Rights bound the states as well, but they did it piecemeal. They'd say, okay, this one binds the states, and now this one binds the states. It took them a while to get to all the rights on the Bill of Rights.
And it's interesting that the 10th Amendment, the nullification amendment, as we look at it, that you know, you nullify certain laws, doesn't allow you to nullify the Constitution or its amendments.
Well, you know, the Supreme Court, this has been pointed out, Supreme Court avoids mentioning the 9th or 10th Amendment like it's, you know, Count Dracula, because it limits their power.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court issues opinions. They don't issue laws in theory.
Might as well.
Theoretically. It's interesting just to note that North Carolina was a state that refused to approve the Constitution unless the Bill of Rights was attached, because they wanted to make sure that we didn't have a dictatorship. And unfortunately, some of the Bill of Rights seems to have been lost in recent years in terms of freedom of speech, freedom of religion. When we've got the federal government putting spies in the Catholic Church, looking for insurrectionists in the Catholic Church, I really think that that is a violation of the First Amendment and some other amendments in terms of warrantless searches.
Well, you know, we're talking about this like it's a constitutional right, but New York City is highly restrictive on guns. And so hardly anybody gets to carry a gun or have a gun in the city of New York. So I guess you don't have to live in New York City, so you still have your rights. You have to live somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's definitely places where you do not have that opportunity.
I wonder, and this is just an I wonder thing, if sometime in the next 5 years, we're already seeing an exodus from blue states to red states. And a lot of it right now is economic because of taxes and cost of living. But I wonder if we're going to reach a point where people are fleeing blue states because they're realizing their rights have been so seriously curtailed. And one of the things that is currently under debate is counting illegal aliens, non-citizens, in the census, because what that does, it prevents California and New York and a couple of other places from losing House of Representative representatives because their populations are decreasing and moving to Texas and Florida and places like that. And that's when the vote was held in the House, all of the Republicans voted not to count non-citizens in the census. All the Democrats voted to count non-citizens in the census. And that's why.
And that's where we're at. So we lost that battle without taking control of.
Yeah. No, they also want areas like the, I'm going to say Puerto Rico or other protectorates or territories to have the voting rights in our presidential election. I mean, Puerto Rico does, but you know, but you don't have a you may have a voting right, but you don't have an official what do I want to say, the 435 and
the Electoral College?
Electoral College. I don't know how they get anything in the Electoral College. I don't know how Washington, D.C. gets anything in the Electoral College, because they, in theory, don't have a voting representative. They have representatives.
Yeah, so they're not a state.
That's not a state.
That's why the Democrats are constantly pushing D.C. to become a state. So never mind what Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, our founding fathers said about we need a neutral ground to be our capital. No, they want a Republican or Democrat ground to be. Yeah.
There's nothing neutral about Washington, D.C. In fact, during the election of Nixon and McGovern, Massachusetts and Washington, D.C. were the only two states that voted for McGovern.
Sorry for the quick interruption, but I just want to add, we had a pro-life advocate, Lauren Handy was sentenced to 57 months in prison following 3 years of supervised, followed by 3 years of supervised supervision for protesting the murder of a late-term abortion.
Is she going
abortion.
To federal prison or state prison?
Oh, now you're asking an excellent question.
Because if she goes to state prison, she gets good time, which will probably cut it in half.
It's the U.S. District Court.
Oh, she's going to federal prison, which means you have to serve the whole sentence.
You got to serve the whole thing. And so she was protesting, and Pat, you rightly pointed out, she was part of a group that came in and chained access to the abortion clinic and whatever else. So probably did it improperly, but here's 57 months. Question that I'm going to follow up with is, in these anti-Israel protests when they took over Columbia University and locked the university up and the police had to go in, as Glenn, as you said, through the window or whatever, are they going to charge anybody likewise with 57 months? And you said that's a rhetorical question.
You know they're not.
But they should.
Well, of course. I mean, there's a lot of things that should be happening to those protesters, and it's not going to happen. They take them down to jail. They find out that half of them aren't even students. Then they just let them go.
Well, we saw that with the Summer of Love in 2020, yeah. where they burned down buildings in mostly peaceful protests, and Kamala Harris raised money to bail them out of jail.
And the colleges are reinstating all the students that they formally suspended.
However, many
did you get a kick out of the Princeton hunger strike?
Yeah,
the hunger strike lasted 9 days, and so then they said, "Well, we'll just rotate in a different seven, and they can start fasting."
And I know that when they demanded that the school provide their dinners or whatever else, but no bananas and no certain other foods.
And they said, "I have a meal plan,
gluten free." Yeah,
I have a meal plan. You have to feed me, even though I'm protesting and blocking the building.
Yeah, that was a different group than the hunger strike.
Well, with that hunger strike deal, I'd take from like 2 to 3 in the afternoon for my portion of the hunger strike.
Just enough for your after lunch snack.
Okay, I'll take the 3 to 4 shift. Okay.
Yeah, and then you're yeah.
Okay, folks, we're going to end this show, and we're not sure where we're going to go from here, but Mary, you wanted to add something?
I just want to thank people for their support of the Back the Blue event. It is sold out. We're looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to seeing all the law enforcement personnel and recognizing them for what they do.
Honoring a number of departments. By the way, today, we're recording on Wednesday. Today is Peacekeeper Officer Day, which was declared by John Kennedy.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in Newbern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.